This is The Full Spectrum. The show provides a wide range of news and competing opinions. The commentaries, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by segment host and guest do not necessarily represent those of WJSU-FM, Jackson State University, or its administrators. The content of this program is for informational and/or entertainment value only and not meant as an endorsement or recommendation in lieu of professional guidance on relevant topics.
It's the full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We got news, entertainment,
Welcome to The Full Spectrum. Our special guest today, the executive director of the State Conference Mississippi NAACP, Dr. Corey Wiggins. Welcome to you, Dr. Wiggins.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here this evening.
I want to start, you just got back from Washington, right?
Yes. I just came back from the Congressional Black Caucus Institute there.
So talk to me about what was going on there.
Sure. I mean, I think the CBC is an opportunity to go and visit to learn about a lot of different policy issues that are happening across the country. And it's an opportunity to dig a little bit deeper and what other states are facing, the issues or challenges, particularly in communities of color. But also, you know, I was excited. There was a lot of energy this year at CBC, particularly around with all of the elections that are happening across the country, particularly the governor's races that are happening in Florida, Georgia, in Maryland, and also the Senate races here in Mississippi. So it was a lot of energy and conversation about that as well.
And most issues converge around that issue of voting this year, because
yes.
No matter what the issue is, if you really care about it, the consensus amongst most groups now is you got to get out and vote.
Yes, you know, the ability to go and vote is an opportunity, and every opportunity is to go and vote is an opportunity to use our currency, right, to leverage our power that we have by utilizing our vote to inform or to use. Elect people who are working in a way to develop and inform communities and promote investment in communities, particularly communities of color.
How's that going? Let's start there with the issue of voting and with getting out the vote and registering voters. I know that there's a lot going on. You guys are really involved in that issue here in the state. Talk to me about how that's looking. Is voter registration up as far as you know? And when it comes to getting out the vote, is the National Democratic Party putting money into the state?
Yeah. Well, an issue of voting, I mean, I think we think about it in terms of NAACP in twofold. One, you know, there is getting people registered to vote, making sure that folks who are just turning 18 are getting registered, making sure that folks, if for one reason or another, who hadn't registered, making sure they have that ability that when they show up to the polls that they can vote. That's one part of it. The other part of it is around voter engagement, right, and voter participation, encouraging those people who are registered to turn out and to actually vote. And so we've been really thinking and digging hard in that work. The third component I do want to talk about as well, too, is just election protection, right? So let's say you have registered, you are going to vote, and making sure that when you go to cast your vote, that you have the ability to cast your vote. And so our work across NAACP and other partners have been really involved in those three phases around voting.
When you talk about making sure people have the right to vote, especially when they get to the poll, what kind of are the problems that are cropping up, are they intentional, do you think, or just sloppiness on the part of the different voting sites around the state?
Well, so one of the things, a couple of things that are going on. One is that we've been hearing things recently or lately is that one of the things we always got to be concerned of is when voter rolls are purged. meaning that people are going back and looking at their voter rolls and purging names for whatever reason off of that list. And you have folks showing up to vote and realize their name is off the voter rolls. And so we want to make sure that folks who are showing up and have questions that come up around their names, whether or not it's a name on the voter rolls, that is addressed. I'm proud to say that a lot of our local branches of the NAACP is actually on top of this and are working to ensure and what's going on in some of these courthouses, particularly around purge voter lists, that they're looking into that and trying to address that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I was reading stories, and I don't know if it was here in Mississippi, but certainly certain places in the country where they're starting to purge the voter rolls if you miss one voting cycle.
Yeah, some of that work, some of the stuff that's around the purging of these voter rolls is something that's happening nationally. So it's not something that's unique to Mississippi right now. It's something that's going on across the country, and that's all the more reason while we have to be diligent to ensure that folks who are registered and who are exercising that right are on voter rolls. The other thing I will say that we are looking and have been looking specifically in is those individuals who vote has been disenfranchised, particularly our brothers and sisters who may be returning citizens to their communities or brothers and sisters who may have had some type of interaction with the criminal justice system, ensuring that those folks, you know, we release NAACP a joint report with One Voice and also with the Citizen Project earlier this year that said they're
and it's
about,
on your site.
Yeah, it's on our website.
Yep. Yeah, it's called Felony Disenfranchisement in Mississippi.
Yes, and we estimated there's 200,000 Mississippians whose right to vote has been taken away or disenfranchised. And the other thing that's unique about that is only about 7% of that number are actually folks who are in jails or prisons. So we have a number of citizens here who are working, walking around, who are productive citizens in society, who working like anybody else, but don't have the ability to exercise their right to vote.
And explain to me, I know that there is a process so talk me through this. I know there's a process if you have a criminal record and you're out to have your voting rights restored. Yeah. Does that depend on the crime that you were convicted of?
So there are a certain number of crimes that if folks have been convicted of that disenfranchises or takes away their ability to vote. However, there are ways to get that restored. The two approaches that you can get it restored is either one, you receive a pardon from the governor, or you have had a individual suffrage bill that has been submitted to the state legislature that they vote on to restore their right to vote. We've been doing some work again, and we did it during this past legislative session, where we were trying to get a number of those folks who, for some reason or another, vote was taken away to get that restored. It had some success with the efforts, but we still need more. I think the issue is not only related to that or some of these issues that crop up out the polls, is that we have to build a culture and promote a culture that encourages people, that promotes voting, rather than policies or approaches that try to limit folks' ability to vote, too.
Yeah, but if it's a political strategy, which many people believe it is, then that's a separate issue. It's not, you know, talking about doing it because it's the right thing to do is one thing, but if it's a political strategy, it's going to be a fight.
Yeah, which is all the more reason for those folks who for one reason or another, who may not be registered, for those folks to make sure they're registered, for those folks who are registered and are not going to the polls to vote. You know, one of the things that we are really concerned about and we want to address is that we see that during presidential elections, we get a number of folks who turn out for presidential elections.
Right.
But you see a drop-off in turnout for midterm elections. And so we want to make sure that those infrequent voters, those voters who only turn out for presidential elections, are able to turn out this year in 2018, and make sure they're able to turn out in 2019 as well.
I did an interview. I was on the Black Voters Matter bus tour when it was going through Mississippi, and I did an interview with three prominent women from the state of Mississippi, and we talked about that issue of only voting in presidential races. And they made a compelling argument that really the way to address this is to show voters that it's really those local elections that matter most to them, the judges and the, you know, the school board and the people that actually have a great influence on their lives on that local level.
Yep, local politics matter. I mean, you look at it this year, you know, not only we had a federal election with the Senate races and congressional races, but we have judicial races that are happening that are important, particularly when you think about issues that are going on around the criminal justice system. When you look at next year, while we'll have races around our state legislature, statewide elections, but we also have elections around district attorneys who also matter around our criminal justice system. So when we talk about exercising power, when we're talking about making sure that we are trying to promote and transform and encourage strong, vibrant communities, local politics matter, and those local decision makers matter. And we have an opportunity to decide through our vote who those folks are.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, but if you are not registered, you have 30 days before the election to register.
Yeah, so you still have more time to register to vote. One of the things I will point to is September 25th is National Voter Registration Day. And so there'll be a lot of different organizations that'll be across the state that'll be out registering people to vote. We're coming up on the time where folks can start submitting work around absentee ballots. And so there are a number of things and opportunities that we have. We just want to, one, make sure we get people registered. And secondly, once people are registered, for those folks who are already registered, make sure we get people turned out to vote for this November.
What are you feeling out there? I know you can't say for sure what's going to happen, but do you feel that people are more interested this cycle?
You know, I think there is more interest this cycle, and I think part of that interest is driven by what's happening at the national level, the national sort of national polarization, the national sort of tone of what's happening that's making folks pay attention a little bit more. And so I do think that more folks will be willing to engage. But I will say also that what it does also creates is a situation, organizations like ours, NAACP, and other partner organizations, we have to do even more, right? Mm-hmm. So when people are showing up to the polls, we got to make sure that we're educating voters about the issues. Voters need to understand and sort of know the candidates and their positions. And so that only makes our work even more important. But it does seem to be that folks are a little bit more interested, paying a little bit more attention. But it all ties down to the more work that we all have to do.
Right. A lot of attention since that Alabama election where Roy Moore lost to Doug Jones in especially black women turning out to vote. And there's a lot of energy around that particular demographic. And that's really exciting to know. You know, and when I was on that bus tour, it was the energy on the bus and the conversations on the bus. Not everything's going to happen this cycle, but there is real attention being paid to this. And so that is really good to know, because as you just said, unless we get out and vote, we can't really change things.
Yeah. You know, I'm so proud of the work and the effort that so many women, sisters who in this state and across the South are doing. What I think what's happening is that we've always known, and we all got to make sure that the rest of the country and everybody understand to recognize the power of the black woman vote.
Yeah.
And be supportive of that work. And there's so many black and brown sisters working together to ensure that that's happening. And we're just excited about that.
Yeah, I hate to name one without, you know,
I will say,
Latasha Brown, who was one of the co-founders of the Black Voters Matter movement, Nashambi, of course, Lambright at One Voice, and Willie Jones, you know, who is really focusing on getting more women candidates, women to run for office.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's so many folks out here doing the work. When I think about, you know, Cassandra Welchlin and the work that she's been doing around pay
Jennifer
equity.
Jennifer Riley Collins.
Jennifer Riley Collins. Arika Bennett, who's doing some work over at Mississippi Votes.
When you and Arika is exciting. You know, she's young, so that it's great to have some more young people involved in the trying to be active in the system.
Yes. And like I said, we're excited about that. You know, and in our space, and what we try to do is that we just want to be supportive of the movement and supportive of that process and really help to fill out wherever space that we need to show up and do. And it is about working collectively to ensure that we're turning more folks out to vote.
You know, you mentioned that a lot of attention is focused on Washington right now. Talk to me about you were more than a fly on the wall. You had a seat there with the CBC. Talk to me about what the conversation was like and what the energy's like there.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the primary concerns is right now that most folks have seen in the news that kept coming up was this Supreme Court nomination process. You know, as the NAACP and also nationally, NAACP have come up early on in this process, and part of our request or ask is that the Senate would have waited to even begin this nomination process until after the midterm elections, and so they decided to move forward with that.
To say that was smart of them, because if the power dynamic changes and the House and the Senate are run by a different party, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. So strategically, you can understand why they wouldn't want to wait until after the mm-hmm. midterms.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the politics of the place, right? And moving that way. But that was one of those issues that kept coming up often. And it was just this really it goes back to something you mentioned earlier, Dwayne, is like they're while given the national sort of tenure and polarization around issues, there was a lot of excitement there. I mean, I think there was a lot of excitement about the opportunities ahead. I think folks were excited again about some of these different races that are happening across the U.S. But more importantly, I think people are excited about the opportunities that exist in the South. You had Andrew Gilliam in Florida, Stacey Abrams in Georgia. When you look at the Senate races here with Espy and David Barrier, I think folks are just excited. And you mentioned, you know, you already have John Bell Edwards over in Louisiana, Doug Jones, the senator out of Alabama. So I think folks are just excited about some of the opportunities that exist in the South and across the South.
I want to turn to another issue, but we're going to take a break, but I'm going to introduce the issue now, because I asked you to come on when I saw you over at the Capitol at the press conference about work requirements for Medicaid.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that issue when we come back. Our guest today is Dr. Corey Wiggins, who is the executive director of the Now I'm going to get this right. It is the state.
Mississippi State Conference.
The Mississippi State Conference, NAACP. Yeah, I get it mixed up. You all kind of change the name around, but I've got it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Dr. Wiggins. Stick around.
Support for WJSU comes from the Mississippi Link. Each week, the Link has connected, integrated, and communicated urban, rural, and community news from around the globe to people of Mississippi and beyond. And now its website provides daily news and events at MississippiLink.net. Welcome to your world.
Welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. We're talking with Dr. Corey Wiggins, who is the executive director of the Mississippi State Conference, NAACP. And we were going to start talking about this issue of these work requirements that the state of Mississippi has applied to the federal government to be able to impose here. Talk to me about this whole issue.
Sure. The state of Mississippi submitted an ask for a waiver to add a work requirement to the state's Medicaid program. Earlier this month or last month, the Mississippi NAACP, along with a number of other organizations, had the opportunity to submit public comment about this issue. And our stance from the NAACP is that we're against them adding this requirement for a number of reasons. One is that this policy itself is it limits access to health care at a time where we should be wanting more people to get health care. At a time where we want to have more Mississippians to have health insurance, to be so they can live their healthier and full lives, that we shouldn't be implementing policies that limit access as prohibitive and a barrier to care. And myself, along with a number of partners, the Mississippi Health Advocacy Program, and other partners, last week was part of a press conference that talked about this and our stance and why we oppose this waiver.
And, of course, these things usually disproportionately affect minorities and low-income Mississippians.
Yeah, and the fact that this issue is impacts rural communities a lot, too.
Right, which is amazing, because I don't think enough people either knew it in the first place or recall that by failing to take the Medicaid match money, a lot of hospitals were affected. A lot of just access to health care has diminished.
Yeah, I mean, if you're anybody, we talk about, we have our city center like Jackson and our other areas like DeSoto and the Gulf Coast region, but so much of Mississippi is rural. And when you look at where a lot of these folks are getting access to health care, they're going to these county hospitals. And these county hospitals are struggling. The populations that they tend to serve tend to be a little bit older, tend to be a little bit more less healthy, considering Mississippi. And they rely upon these government programs as revenue. And you had an opportunity a couple of years back through the Affordable Care Act to expand Medicaid, which not only just from the standpoint of a moral sense of providing health insurance to those folks who need it the most, but also from an economic sense, it would have been a boost for local economies. These hospitals are large employers in these communities, and you have so many hospitals now in rural communities across Mississippi that are struggling. You have some hospitals that's been closing down or reducing services, and that drastically and negatively impacts healthcare in these communities.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard. Or there might not be consensus about the one issue that's driving all of that. You know, if it's racial animus or if it's just money, just trying to save the most money. I had a conversation with Bill Chandler, who's the executive director of the Mississippi Immigrants Rights Alliance, about, this long-held belief by many people that there's a strategy to drain government funds in order to start privatizing a lot of agencies, which is a theory that many people hold true to, So mm-hmm. I don't know what's driving it, but it is usually a lot of these policies are impacting minority and poor folks.
Well, this is what's unfortunate. There's this unfortunate myth out there as it relates to government programs and public assistance here in Mississippi as a state's rights and pull ourselves up by our bootstrap sort of mentality, when the truth of the matter is that we as a state, because we are a poor state, rely heavily upon federal funding.
Right. But and the other thing that really bothers me about that, Corey, is that if that's your philosophy, okay, if you're a Darwinist, good for you. But then when does that start applying to business? Well, I mean, I read an article recently about corporate welfare, which is just out of control.
And that's what I was going to speak to, because call it an unfortunate myth because that thinking and train of thought is faulty. When you look at some of the big businesses and big corporations, you dig into the data and understand the policy, is these companies have received all kind of corporate welfare, corporate subsidies. Some of these companies have their initial investments and their ability to raise revenue was based upon government contracts. And so when you think about the role of government, the government has and spurring some level of economic development. It has always been there. But I think we're at a point in time in our history, and we're at a point in time in this country where some folks want to forget that and forget the role that government has played in creating opportunity for some communities. And when it's an opportunity to talk about equity, we want to turn away from that conversation. And that's what we have to lean more into versus running away into this conversation about how bad government is.
Before we run out of time, I want to give you a chance to tell folks about your 73rd annual state convention coming up.
Yes, sure. Look, each year, the Mississippi and AACP gathers and it brings together its members and folks from across the state and other folks from across this country to talk about those issues that are impacting African-American community here in Mississippi. And this is our 73rd annual state convention will be happening November 8th through 10th. This year is being hosted by a Gulfport branch of the NAACP, and it's going to be at Hollywood Casino and Resort in Bay St. Louis. We invite people to visit our website, which is www.naacpms.org. They can find information about that. And we are very excited about that. We are excited about our Freedom Fund banquet that we do on Saturday night to close out the event. Great time to come and fellowship and gather with people to learn more about the work in NAACP, the impact we're having across this state, and the opportunities to strengthen and build and grow vibrant, strong communities across the state moving forward.
And that's at NAACPMS.org, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Find that stuff out. A theme this year, Corey?
Our theme this year is Defeat Hate, Vote. Which I think is so important in this context. And so we're looking at the opportunity not only to turn folks out and get folks engaged and want to participate in these 2018 elections, but we want that enthusiasm to carry over. And we talked about politics being local. We have an opportunity to still make impact and improvements in our 2019 elections. So we're moving forward with our work around civic engagement and turning out the vote.
Well, only people who could have a problem with that theme are haters.
That's our sentiments exactly.
Dr. Corey Wiggins, Executive Director of the Mississippi State Conference NAACP, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Look, thank you. I appreciate the invitation, and I enjoy coming to talk with you about our work. And any time that we could be supportive, I appreciate that.
Hey, you got that. All right. That's our show for today. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on JSU-TV, Comcast Channel 14. You can catch their live stream on Facebook. Just type in Jackson State TV, one word. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow for more of the full spectrum. That's at 4 tomorrow right here on FM 88.5. You can live stream our show online at WJSU.org, so you can catch us wherever you are in the country. Up next, Latin Jazz with your host, Dale Morris. Have a great evening.